Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to the dimly lit corridors of our scary stories. Tonight, your reality will blur, your senses will tingle, and your pulse will quicken. I am your guide through the mist-shrouded path of the unknown and the unsettling. As the veil between worlds thins, we gather around this modern campfire to share tales that dance on the edge of nightmares. Prepare to be immersed in a tale from the quiet, cursed town of Havenwood, where the legend of the Carrion Man prowls. Now, let the shadows embrace you as we unravel the chilling tapestry of the Carrion Man, a skinwalker among us. Turn down the lights, let your imagination roam, and listen, if you dare. The crispness of the autumn air in Havenwood was usually filled with the scent of pine and the gentle decay of leaves. But today, there was a different scent on the wind, an iron tang that wrinkled the nose and sunk deep into the lungs. Daniel, a local boy known for his insatiable curiosity and wild strawberry blonde hair, was the first to encounter the source of the disquieting aroma. He'd been walking his dog, Chester, an eager beagle with a nose for adventure, on a path that snaked through the heart of the forest, a path as familiar to him as the back of his hand. However, this familiarity did nothing to quell the unease that crept up his spine as Chester's barks became whimpers, and the dog refused to move ahead. There, in a small clearing where the sun fought a losing battle against the encroaching shadows, was a sight that would have stopped anyone's heart. A man, or what appeared to be a man, was crouched over a deer, his face buried in its open belly, hands digging greedily into the crimson cavity. The sound of rending flesh was punctuated by the sickening crack of bone. Daniel's foot snapped a twig as he stepped backward, and the man's head snapped up, his face smeared with blood, eyes piercingly bright against the dark stain. He smiled, a gesture that should have been friendly but instead stretched into something grotesque. Then, as if made of the very mist that clung to the forest floor, he vanished. Chester whimpered again, tugging at his leash, eager to flee the clearing. Daniel didn't need any further prompting. Heart hammering against his ribs, he ran home, the echo of his own breath loud in his ears. He burst through the back door of his home, almost tripping over the entryway rug, his words tumbling out in a torrent as his mother, Elaine, emerged from the kitchen. A woman of medium height, with hair the color of winter wheat and eyes that had seen more books than sunrises, Elaine had a calmness to her that could settle the most turbulent seas. Yet, as Daniel spoke, her steady gaze flickered, and her fingers tightened around the edge of the countertop. "Slow down, Daniel," Elaine said, her voice a steady anchor. "Tell me exactly what you saw." Breathless, Daniel recounted the macabre tableau, his eyes wide and hands shaking. Elaine listened, her expression growing paler with each word, the scholarly part of her brain that cataloged folklore and myths flickering to life with reluctant recognition. "It had the eyes, Mom," Daniel insisted, "like the stories you told me, the ones about the skinwalkers." Elaine felt a cold finger trace the length of her spine. Skinwalkers were creatures of nightmare and legend, not the sort of thing a rational woman should believe in. Yet, the conviction in Daniel's voice, the fear that still danced in his eyes, was enough to rattle even her skepticism. She knelt before her son, taking his hands in hers. "Listen to me, Daniel," she said firmly. "We'll keep this between us for now. I need to look into this. It could be someone's idea of a sick joke." Daniel nodded, but the way his eyes darted to the window, to the deepening twilight outside, told Elaine he wasn't convinced. After tucking Daniel into bed with assurances that they were safe, Elaine retreated to her sanctuary, the library that smelled of leather and aged paper. She pulled down tomes of local legends, books on the flora and fauna of the region, anything that could explain or rationalize what her son had seen. The night deepened, and the only sounds in the library were the quiet rustle of pages, and the soft tap of Elaine's pencil noting down cross-references. But no matter how many times she tried to logic it away, the image that Daniel had painted, the man with the smile of a predator, kept creeping into her thoughts. The wind outside picked up, carrying with it the rustle of leaves and a whisper that was almost like laughter. Elaine shivered and turned the page, her heart an unwilling drummer in the quiet of the night. The dawn broke over Havenwood with a reluctant sun pushing through thick, brooding clouds. Elaine, with the night's research drawn in dark circles under her eyes, stepped outside to a world that seemed to hold its breath. There was an unsettling quiet, a hush that blanketed the town. The usual morning chorus of wildlife was absent, leaving a void that was filled with a strange tension, as if the earth itself was waiting for something sinister to unfold. As she walked the path toward the town center, Elaine's thoughts churned. She couldn't shake the feeling that the unsettling stillness was connected to the horror Daniel had witnessed. Her skin prickled with unease, and she found herself examining the gnarled trees that lined the street, half expecting to find them watching her pass. It wasn't long before she noticed the first of the symbols. It was crudely etched into the bark of an old maple, its lines sharp and deliberate. The symbol wasn't one she recognized from the town's history. Instead, it seemed to pulse with an age much older, its design reminiscent of ancient petroglyphs she had seen in old texts, symbols that spoke of dark rituals and forgotten gods. Throughout the day, more reports came. Whispers of cats and dogs that had not returned home the previous night, their owners' calls disappearing into the silence. More symbols were found, marking trees like territorial warnings. Elaine's heart sank with each new discovery, her mind reeling with the implications. In her heart of hearts, the librarian knew she was seeing a pattern that led to an impossible conclusion, the legend of the Skinwalker. But how could she entertain the thought that a myth might be stirring to life in her own backyard? Rationality warred with the fear that these were omens of something far more sinister than mere coincidence. Back in the quiet solace of her library, Elaine pored over her books once more, cross-referencing symbols, looking for something, anything that might offer a different explanation. But the lore was clear in its description, its warnings. The Skinwalker was a being of malice, capable of taking on the guise of man or beast. As the sun dipped low, casting long shadows that crept across the library floor, Elaine could not deny the chill that settled over her. The symbols etched into the trees were not random acts of vandalism. They were a message, a call that beckoned to something she did not understand, something that had no place in the natural order of her world. The street lamps flickered to life outside as Elaine continued her research, the only sounds in the library now the faint scratching of her pencil and the distant echo of doors locking as the townsfolk prepared for a night of uneasy sleep. Havenwood, once a haven of tranquility, was now ensnared in a disquieting stillness, a prelude to a night that would hold too many shadows. The word of the strange happenings in Havenwood rippled through the town like a chill breeze. In hushed tones, people shared their stories of unease. Each account, from the butcher at his meat-laden counter to the florist among her wilting blooms, bore striking similarities. They spoke of fleeting glimpses of someone or something that watched from the denser shadows of the trees, just beyond the reach of the street lamp's glow. Elaine heard these whispers, each one amplifying the dread that had taken root in her heart. Her logical mind grappled with the thought of collective hysteria, but the librarian in her, the guardian of the town's lore, knew that such things were often born from a seed of truth. It was late afternoon when Elaine saw it herself, a shadowy figure that stood at the edge of the park, as still as the statues that graced the fountain. It was there and then it wasn't, a trick of the light, perhaps, but Elaine's instinct screamed otherwise. With a resolve that was part willpower and part fear, she marched towards the place where the figure had stood, her every step an act of defiance against the crawling fear. But the figure had vanished, leaving no trace in the soft earth, no sign it had ever been there. Elaine's pursuit, however, led her deeper into the woods, to a clearing that was marked by silence and a sight that arrested her breath. A circle of dead animals, ranging from squirrels to a fox, all arranged with meticulous care into a cryptic pattern that had no place in nature. The animals bore no sign of injury, yet their lifeless eyes stared at the sky, as if in accusation. Elaine's hand rose to her mouth, stifling the gasp that threatened to break the oppressive silence of the clearing. She stood there, her mind a tempest of thoughts, trying to impose logic on a scene that defied it. There was an intelligence behind the arrangement, a message woven into the very stillness of death that lay before her. The symbols on the trees, the missing pets, the figure in the shadows, Elaine could no longer deny the pattern that was emerging. The shadows seemed to press in on her, and for the first time, Elaine felt truly vulnerable, a lone figure standing at the edge of a darkness that was both literal and figurative. She took in the scene one last time, memorizing every detail, every possible clue that could be gleaned, before she turned back toward the safety of the town. As she left, the forest seemed to exhale, the shadows receding reluctantly as Elaine emerged from the tree line, her mind racing. The murmurs of the townsfolk would no longer be just idle talk to fill the silence. They were warnings, and Elaine knew that whatever was watching from the darkness was more than just a watcher now. It was a harbinger. Under the sterile light of the town hall, Elaine stood with her evidence laid bare on the large oak table around which the town council sat. Her hands, though steady, betrayed a faint tremor as she pointed to the photographs of the cryptic circle, the etched symbols on the trees, and the accounts of those who had felt unseen eyes upon them. The council members, a gathering of faces etched with the lines of community service, listened with a blend of skepticism and burgeoning concern. Mayor Jonathan, with his salt and pepper beard and habitual frown, was the emblem of the town's pragmatism. Elaine, he said, his voice threading the line between disbelief and the weight of his office. These are troubling findings, yes. But to jump to legends, Councilwoman Patricia interrupted, her eyes locked on the photos as if they might yield more answers upon further scrutiny. We are basing this on legends. Elaine met their gazes, one by one, the flicker of the overhead fluorescence casting an otherworldly pallor on all present. But look at what's happening, she urged. Our pets, the silence of the woods, these signs, they are real, Jonathan, Patricia. All of you, this is real. A murmur of assent began to swell amongst some of the council members, while others shuffled papers, uncomfortable with the direction of the conversation. Jonathan raised his hand, and the room stilled. Regardless of the cause, there is a tangible unease among the people of Havenwood. We must address that. And so, the decision was made. Watch groups were formed, a collective of volunteers who would patrol the streets and the borders of the woods, a symbol of action to quell the rising tide of fear. The first night of the watch brought a nervous energy to Havenwood. Neighbors who had once shared pleasantries now shared guard duty, their flashlights cutting through the encroaching darkness. Elaine herself walked among them, her eyes darting to every flicker of shadow. But with the coming of the dawn, it became clear that their vigil had not deterred the unseen menace. Instead, it seemed to have provoked it. On the doorsteps of homes along the very streets that had been watched, signs appeared. No longer content to mark the trees, the skinwalker had left its symbols etched onto the wooden planks of porches, carved into fence posts, and scrawled across the sidewalks in chalky substances that crumbled at a touch. Mayor Jonathan stood on his own porch, staring down at the glyph that marred his welcome mat. Elaine approached, her breath visible in the cool morning air. You see it now, don't you? She whispered, not as an I told you so, but as a shared acknowledgement of the nightmare that was spilling into their reality. The mayor nodded, his skepticism eroded by the undeniable proof that something was toying with them, something that was growing bolder by the hour. The safety of daylight seemed an illusion now, a thin veneer that could not hide the truth of what was lurking just beyond their sight. Elaine and Jonathan exchanged a look that conveyed a mutual understanding. This was no mere spree of vandalism, no series of coincidences. Havenwood was under the gaze of something ancient and malevolent, and the darkness it brought with it was encroaching fast. Daniel's feet crunched over the frostbitten leaves, his breath coming out in visible puffs as he led his friends, Michael and Jenna, deeper into the woods. Their eyes were wide, darting between the skeletal trees, searching for a glimpse of the impossible. Despite the town's collective anxiety, the thrill of the hunt, of proving themselves braver than the rest, had drawn them past the edge of reason and into the heart of the forest. Are you sure we should be doing this? Jenna's voice was a tenuous thread in the vast tapestry of silence that the woods had become. Michael snorted, a forced bravado punctuating his stride. Scared, Jenna bristled, but before she could retort, Daniel halted, holding up a hand. They froze, the sound of their own breathing now a roaring in their ears. There, between the gnarled fingers of two ancient oaks, stood the Carrion Man. He was a grotesque silhouette, his features caught in the twilight dance of dusk and shadow. His eyes, however, burned with a clarity that pierced the dim, an unholy light that fixed upon the children. A moment stretched between predator and prey, a tableau of impending doom, before the creature moved. It was a fluid motion, not quite human, as it stepped forward. Its mouth, a dark chasm of unspeakable hunger, twisted into a grimace that mocked a smile. Panic erupted. Run! Daniel shouted, and they did, tearing through the underbrush, the sounds of pursuit a constant echo to their flight. Branches clawed at their clothes, roots threatened to unseat them, and all the while, the notion that they were being herded, played with, clung to their thoughts like burrs. They emerged from the woods gasping, trembling, but unharmed. They had escaped, but as Daniel looked back, he saw the figure standing at the forest's edge, its gaze unwavering. A shiver rolled down his spine, a primal warning that this was no mere escape. The creature had allowed it. Later, as Daniel recounted the tale to Elaine, her face drained of color. It let you go, she whispered, a statement rather than a question. Yeah, Daniel admitted, the weight of that realization pressing down on him. He had felt it then, and he felt it now. The creature's interest in him was singular, a thread of dark intent that connected them. A question lingered in the air, unspoken but hanging heavy. Why? Elaine placed a protective arm around her son, but the gesture felt hollow. The beast had marked Daniel, and in that branding, the rules of their reality had shifted. They were not merely residents of Havenwood now. They were quarry in the Predator's play. Inside the quiet sanctuary of Havenwood's library, Elaine pored over musty tomes and faded maps, the dim lamplight casting long shadows over the room. The walls were lined with books that whispered secrets of the past, and among them, she sought answers. The symbols etched across town, an esoteric language of curves and lines, now sprawled across her desk, a puzzle demanding to be solved. Each symbol was a breadcrumb leading back to an era when the land was untamed, whispering of old beliefs and ancient curses. She cross-referenced, sketched, and decoded until the narrative began to coalesce, not merely a skinwalker, but a spirit scorned, clawing its way back through the veil of time, its purpose bound to blood and vengeance. As night crept across Havenwood, an ominous silence settled over Elaine's home. It was a quiet that suffocated, thick with intention. She drew the curtains, but froze when her gaze fell upon the glass. There, smeared in a substance that glistened darkly under the moon's gaze, were the symbols, the same ones that haunted her research. Her breath hitched, a cold lance of fear piercing her heart as she rushed to Daniel's room. She found him asleep, but as she drew closer, she saw the shadow at the window, a shape all too familiar, pressing against the barrier with a hunger that vibrated the very air. Acting on instinct, Elaine grabbed the ceremonial rattle from her desk, a relic from her research, and shook it fiercely. The sound filled the room, a declaration of defiance. The figure recoiled as if struck, and the darkness seemed to retreat. For a moment, the night held its breath, and then the presence was gone. Shaken, Elaine held Daniel, who woke bewildered and frightened. She whispered reassurances, but her eyes were vigilant, watching the shadows where the windowpane reflected a distorted version of reality. The heart of Haven would beat with a foreboding rhythm that night, a drumming that sounded too much like a war charge. Elaine knew then that the lines had been drawn. This was more than myth or legend. This was a fight for their very souls, a battle against a darkness that thrived on fear. An ancient malice. Havenwood's unity, once as solid as the ancient oaks that lined its streets, began to show signs of wear. Whispers turned to shouts, and suspicion lurked in every glance. Friends became strangers, and strangers, enemies. In the once tranquil coffee shops and diners, residents cast doubtful looks over steaming cups and half-eaten meals, pondering if the person across from them wore their true face. Elaine, her eyes rimmed with the red of sleepless nights, found no solace in books anymore. Each page turned was a race against an unseen clock. Each fact unearthed a piece of a dire puzzle. Her crusade for truth had led her to the brink, where folklore bled into reality, and myths walked in daylight. In the musty back room of the town hall, Elaine and Mayor Jonathan rifled through records yellowed by time. Deeds, council minutes, and newspaper clippings painted a cyclical pattern of unexplained phenomena and collective amnesia. Incidents lined up with the precision of celestial events, spaced by decades, each emergence marked by fear and loss. Look here, Jonathan's voice cut through the silence as he spread out an old map, its edges curling like dry leaves. His finger traced a line that seemed random, but to Elaine's eyes, it was as clear as the symbols on her window. A path of incidents, a breadcrumb trail of dread leading back through Havenwood's history, spiraling ever inward. Their shared realization was a silent thunderclap, a fracture through their understanding of the world. They were not facing a mere resurgence, they were trapped in a cycle, a macabre echo resonating through the ages. This creature, this carrion man, was not a new terror, but an old one, its roots entangled deep within the very soil of Havenwood. As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting its last golden rays upon the quaint town of Havenwood, the residents, steeled by a shared purpose, emerged from their homes. The atmosphere was thick with the kind of resolve that only arises when a community faces a threat greater than itself. Under Elaine's direction, the townspeople began their meticulous preparations. With solemn determination, they etched ancient symbols into the dirt of their gardens, the wooden fences bordering their properties, and even onto the pavement of the main street. These symbols, gleaned from Elaine's extensive research, were believed to be anathema to the Carrion Man, a spectral entity that had plagued their town. Groups of volunteers, some armed with nothing more than flashlights and garden tools, took up positions. They formed a human barrier, a protective ring around the town's perimeter, eyes fixed on the darkening woods that encroached upon their homes. But as night cloaked Havenwood in its chilling embrace, the plan began to unravel. The first sign of trouble was a bone-chilling howl, a sound that seemed to emanate from everywhere and nowhere. It was a signal that turned the night into chaos. Smoke billowed from the direction of the old mill, drawing away a portion of the volunteers in a frantic effort to control what they believed to be a fire. Then, the very air around them seemed to thicken, as if charged with an unseen malice. Shadows twisted and stretched in impossible ways, creating brief, horrifying visions of twisted figures that melted away just as quickly as they appeared. The volunteers, their courage faltering in the face of these spectral assaults, began to scatter in panic, their formation breaking. In the midst of this pandemonium, Elaine and Daniel found themselves isolated. The lights of the town, which had been a comforting beacon, flickered and dimmed, swallowed by the encroaching darkness. Elaine gripped Daniel's hand tightly, her mind racing for a solution, as they made the decision to retreat into the forest. The forest itself felt like a different realm. The branches of the trees, bare and gnarled, scratched at the sky like desperate fingers. The ground was a carpet of decaying leaves and twigs that crunched ominously under their feet. Every shadow seemed to move with a life of its own, and the air was thick with the musty, damp scent of rotting wood and earth. It was here, in this primordial setting, that the Carrion Man made its presence known. The creature was a horrifying tableau of what once might have been human, now twisted into something grotesque. Its limbs were elongated and bent at odd angles, its skin a patchwork of darkness. Its eyes, however, were the most terrifying aspect, voids that seemed to suck in the light around them, radiating a hunger that was as palpable as the fear it invoked. As it moved towards them, its movements were disjointed yet fluid, a sinister dance that was mesmerizing and terrifying in equal measure. Elaine, her heart pounding in her ears, knew that they were facing something that defied the natural order of the world. With her back against an ancient oak, Elaine began to chant. The words were old, older than the town itself, a language that she had only seen in the most arcane of her books. The Carrion Man hesitated, its form flickering as if the words were a physical assault. The air vibrated with the power of Elaine's incantation, a raw and primal magic that stemmed from the very heart of Havenwood's forgotten past. In that moment, mother and son stood not just as the potential victims of this otherworldly predator, but as the embodiment of the town's will to survive and fight against the encroaching darkness. The forest, a silent witness to this confrontation, seemed to lean in, its ancient presence lending strength to Elaine's voice as she faced the heart of her and Havenwood's deepest fears. Under the waning moon, the town of Havenwood was a hive of terror and resolve. The very air seemed to vibrate with the electricity of impending doom. Figures moved through the underbrush, an amalgam of fear and courage as they converged on the source of their collective nightmare. The Carrion Man, in the clearing that served as the battleground between realms, twisted the space around it. Trees bent unnaturally, shadows loomed, and the very ground seemed to pulse underfoot. Its form flickered in and out of the corporeal world, an abomination that defied the laws of nature. Elaine stood central to the chaos, her voice clear above the cacophony of battle cries and the creature's otherworldly snarls. She recalled every story, every whispered legend, and with an unwavering voice, she began to weave an incantation not from written records but from the shared convictions of every soul present. The townsfolk, emboldened by her steadiness, rallied to her call. Their shared belief became a tangible force, a chorus of wills that joined with Elaine's in a crescendo of defiance. They held on to each other, their hands clasped in solidarity, eyes alight with the fire of their spirits. The creature shrank back as if wounded by their unity. Elaine's son, Daniel, too young to comprehend the full weight of his mother's gambit, added his voice to the throng. It was the pure, unjaded belief of a child that tipped the scales, lending a weight to Elaine's words that began to bind the Carrion Man. The entity thrashed, its form contorting as the air grew thick with the power of their conviction. It howled, a sound that was both a lament and a fury, as it found itself ensnared in an invisible snare, wrought from the collective heart of Havenwood. Breaths held, bodies tensed, the townspeople watched as the Carrion Man became encased in a shroud of shimmering energy, the product of their combined wills. For a moment, Elaine's eyes met the creature's, and she saw in it the reflection of every fear, every sorrow it had fed upon. Yet, she held her ground, her stance a testament to the town's unwavering determination to survive. As dawn stretched its rosy fingers over the horizon, Havenwood exhaled, the tightness of dread that had gripped it for months finally loosening. Elaine walked through the town square, her strides reflecting the ease that had settled over the townsfolk. Smiles were exchanged, and laughter bubbled up where once only hushed, anxious whispers had traveled. In the weeks that followed, the raw terror that had clawed at the edges of reality receded into memory. The town, its scars hidden beneath the surface of normalcy, began to heal. Children played once again with carefree abandon, and the woods no longer seemed to loom with silent threat. The passing of winter was marked with celebration, an acknowledgement of the town's resilience. Elaine, once a simple librarian, now carried the weight of a hero, her name whispered with reverence and not a little awe. But as the snow melted and the earth softened, a new page turned. A group of hikers, their gear new and their faces alight with the thrill of adventure, wandered into Havenwood. They found a trail, not on any map, marked with symbols that might have been the whimsical creation of a local artist for all the dread they inspired. Laughter echoed as they followed the path, the symbols guiding them deeper into the woods. Their voices carried far, but not far enough to reach the ears of those who would have warned them of the path's true nature. Behind them, at a distance kept with predatory patience, a figure stood still. Its eyes gleamed with a predatory intelligence, watching the hikers with an interest that was far from benign. It bore a grin that was both familiar and utterly foreign, the legacy of Havenwood's darkest chapter etched into its twisted visage. As the hikers disappeared from view, the figure moved. It was careful, deliberate, stepping over the unseen line in the earth where the Carrion Man had been bound by belief and desperation. The peace that had settled over Havenwood was as fragile as the thawing ice, destined to fracture under the weight of the cycle's inexorable turn. The creature's time had come once more, the trap that had held it now just a footnote in the long history of its existence. Havenwood had won a battle, but the war, it seemed, ebbed and flowed with the certainty of the tides. The quiet that had fallen over the town was merely a pause, the inhale before the storm's next exhale, the silence before the scream. And so, as the first buds of spring whispered promises of renewal, the Carrion Man waited, its hunger undiminished. The cycle was poised to begin anew, the story of Havenwood and its spectral stalker far from over. The whispers have settled, and the tale is complete. For now, as we part the veils of our scary stories and return to the comforting glow of the known, let the echoes of the Carrion Man's legend linger in your thoughts. Remember, dear listeners, the stories we share are but a reflection of the darkness that dwell just beyond our sight. Thank you for joining me in the embrace of fear and fascination. Until our paths cross again in the gloom, hold tight to your courage, and perhaps, leave a light on tonight. Sleep tight, and should you venture into the woods, beware the symbols that beckon. Good night, and sweet dreams.